It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're going to finish out the book, the chapter of Exodus, 20th chapter of Exodus today. And so please that you would turn to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to begin reading with the 20th verse and read down to the end of the chapter. We'll probably get into the 21st chapter today. So I'm glad that you've joined us today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. It's going to be a wonderful study, as always, when we're in God's Word. Exodus chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, and that ye sin not." And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The Lord said unto Moses, "Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings. Thy sheep and thy oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." Now let's go to the Lord in prayer after reading to the end of this chapter. Father, we do thank and praise you for the day that you've given us. Please that you will guide and lead us and show us your way and will for our lives. We need today, as every day, to hear from you. We don't need to hear my opinion or what I have to say about this. Man's very good about giving that. And I know, dear Lord, that it's just natural, and that's what we do. But please, I ask that it be from you today, as each time we come together. I want your words proclaimed. I want everyone to see you, whether it be for salvation, because you show them their sin and show them the need of a Savior and show them you, Lord Jesus, through your precious Spirit, as he would do that. Please let that take place today. And for all that are saved, that we will enjoy today serving you and praising you and growing closer to you and knowing more about you. Please let that be what takes place today. Now please guide and lead us as we study your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have looked at the Ten Commandments for the last couple of times we've been together, and we'll find those in this 20th chapter. It begins with the third verse, and I'm just going to read very quickly through these commandments, and then we're going to begin and look at some other commandments or judgments as God's Word would state it, how he proclaims it. So let's look now at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 is the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. The third is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The fourth is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The fifth is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And as we look at those verses, I should have read those for you. Read the verse, Exodus 20, verse 3, verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, verse 12, verse 13, and number 7 is 14, then 8 is 15, number 9 is 16, and the 10th commandment is verse 17. And so that'll help you to understand and look at these verses of Scripture if you are not able to right now. And I hope that you were able to read those and follow along. And we find the people, as they were given these commands, that the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the great noise, and they removed themselves from the mount. God says, come up and listen, and come up and see. But it was more than they were willing to see. They preferred that Moses, you go talk to God, and then you talk to us, because we don't want to talk to him anymore. You know, when we see the power and the presence of God, it must humble us. It must put a fear into us. Today, no one fears God. No one thinks and is concerned about God's command, about his word. They just live a life that they think is good and that the world thinks is good. And, you know, the nation of Israel wasn't long when they got into the land that they began to take all the judgments, the rules, everything that God had placed down for them to not only follow him and worship him, but in all these rules and all these things, they begin to change them and alter them to what seemed to be better. Sometimes they would add to them. Sometimes they would take away from them. But they were notorious in doing that, in trying to fine-tune them to meet and to please man. Well, when you do that, it's going to be nothing but trouble. And I'm afraid today that the Word of God has been so diluted and the Word of God has been so watered down, sometimes by the preachers, sometimes by different versions that have been written, but it doesn't matter how it's happened. It has happened. And no longer is man fearful to stand before a holy God. And so we need to be reminded here when we study this, these people were afraid, and they stood back, and they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. That is how they were affected. That's how the Word of God, when it was presented to these people, affected these people. It scared them literally to death. And that's what they were afraid, and they needed to come and look unto the holy God with a repentant heart and call upon him for mercy. But instead of that, they stood back and they says, no, Moses, you talk to him. You know, they were the ones that wanted the rules to start with, and now that the one that has the ability to make the rules, being God himself, now that they have heard the rules, now they really don't want to talk to him anymore. And that's kind of the way man is. They would rather hear from some man, even if it's wrong, than hear the Word of God and be touched, their heart be touched by God's Word. The people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was, in the 21st verse here. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say to the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Remember the purpose of bringing the people to the mount. God didn't speak to the people. God spoke to Moses, but he spoke in such a fashion that the people heard, because God wanted without question all the people to know that Moses was his man. Moses was the one that was going to bring God's word to the people. And God didn't want any question that this is the one I have chosen to do this. He is the one that I have chosen to lead you into the promised land. this is the one that I have chosen. And so there was no question about that. And you know, we have today the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked upon this earth some 2,000 years ago. There was so much evidence. You know, when Peter began to preach his one of his first messages, and actually I believe it was the second message that was preached, and when he, after he had been in jail for a little bit because of what he stood for, he stood for the Lord Jesus, and the religious group didn't know what to do, and so they put him into this kind of a jail affair to contain him, and they brought him back out. And you see what happened was Peter and John found this lame man, and this lame man was healed, and he had been lame for 40 years, and it was so evident that it was God's power that has done this, that the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the high priests, and all his family, they didn't know what to do, because it was all contrary to what they believed and what they taught the people, and so they're going to have to hush this up. They're going to have to stop this somehow or other. But they had too many witnesses. The witnesses of the lame man being healed, the witness of himself, the lame man himself, the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that had taken place just a few days before was the ascension, and 40 days before that was the resurrection. So we're within a couple of months of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and multitudes saw the Lord Jesus. And so they couldn't put it to an end anymore. You see, God makes it clear when it is God himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or here, God's chosen, which is Moses. God makes it clear. There's no question about it. And we have that right here. There is no question that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There's no question that this lame man was healed as we look at the book of Acts. There was no question about that. Well, here, these Israelites, they backed off from this mount. They had no question that it was God speaking. And they were more than happy to let Moses hear from God and then Moses speak to them. They didn't want to be that close to God again. Well, when we stand before a holy, righteous God, we don't like to stand there. We don't want to be next to him because we are so miserable in our sin, and our sin. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And here is a living God. And unless we come by faith to Jesus Christ, we don't want anything to do with him. And that's a good example of the world today. They do not want to stand before nor answer to a holy, righteous God. These people backed away. And the Lord said, again in verse 22, unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, if ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Now we're going to just stop there with that 23rd verse for just a minute, because we need to see that as God has handed down the Ten Commandments, those Ten Commandments, some, as we talked about, there's a little division there. The first one through four is man's relationship to God, and now we find in 5 through 10 is man's relationship to man. But we could call that, as some do, the moral code or the moral law. And then we look and we talk just a little bit about a social, you know, getting along with each other. So we have the moral law and the social law, and now we're coming down here to a third kind of law, and that's the law of the altar and of the tabernacle. Now, one of these laws, the judgments, presents to us death, because it is the perfect law, and no one can keep the law. Now you can say, well, I'm pretty good and I'm awful close to it. Well, awful close doesn't make it. And I don't know about you, but I do know about me. I cannot keep the law. I can't keep any part of it. I am so wicked that in my flesh that I have failed in every one of these. Now, you need to recognize that you have two. But I do recognize that I have, and I see that I desperately need a Savior. I need a Savior to save me. And my Savior is Jesus Christ. I hope that you can see that certain death for certain comes as you try to live and try to keep these Ten Commandments. Whether it's the law between you and God or between man to man, it doesn't matter. We failed. We failed in every one. I have listed now for the last several times we've been together these Ten Commandments. And most people live a life believing and living and thinking that they're living a good enough life that they're going to make it to heaven. Well, if you fail in one, you're out. But don't put yourself so prideful and be so arrogant to think that you've only failed in one or two, so that's close enough, because that's a mistake to begin with. But worse than that is, you have not just failed in one, you have failed in all of them. And the reason that we know, if you look at that first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Natural man does not desire the things of God. You have placed so many gods before you, above and beyond, and looking more at them, whether it be personally, whether it be money, whether it be some statue that you worship. But we cannot, we must put all that aside and put God first. Well, you may have done that in the past, and you may do it in the future. But how about those days between? Understand, we fail. You fail at one, you failed them all. And you can look at it any way you want to. You failed the first one, you failed the second one, you failed the third one, you failed the fourth one, you failed every one of them. Now, as we look at these, and I've shared with you before, that the only one that's not in the New Testament is the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Many believe that we have to keep the Sabbath day, and it is a day of rest, as the Scripture says. But you'll find the people that keep the Sabbath, they don't use it as a day of rest. They do it as a day to go to church. And that wasn't the original law at all. So, you see, even if they keep that, they have failed. And so, I need you to see that we need a Savior, and that Savior must be Jesus Christ. And the law shows us our sin. Now, we're going to come into something now, and the purpose of taking the time to say all that is that as we get now to this 23rd verse, ye shall not make with me gods of silver. Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. That's the confirmation in the end of verse 22. That's the confirmation. I am God. You have seen it. You have witnessed it yourself. So you see, this is very important. It was the same situation I explained to you in the book of Acts with Peter and John and the lame man and the Lord Jesus and his resurrection. Tremendous witnesses, all testifying of the truth. And here, once again, God brought all the people forward. He didn't just take Moses up behind some hill and speak to him quietly and then send him down. And Moses says, I've been with God. I'm here to speak to you now to tell him. God wanted all to know that Moses was his chosen man. And this is one way that he has done it, as of many other ways. But here he shows them. But he tells them, very clearly, because you see, as these people are coming out from Egypt, as they are coming out from Egypt, that's all they know is statues of silver and statues of gold. And it wasn't just some statue that someone had made that looks nice. It was a god that the Egyptians had made. And Israelites have been in there for now hundreds of years. And as you realize all these years that they have been away from their land, away from their God, and they have never learned to worship and praise their God. God is not saving these Israelites from the bondage of Egypt because they're good, because they have repented. God is doing it because God's word is true, and God said, I will deliver you. I will bring you back to the promised land. And he did. He brought them back to the land. It wasn't because of all the things that they have done at all. And the same with us. Why am I a Christian? It's not because I got good all of a sudden. And everything, I've quit this, and I've quit this, and I've quit this, so now I can become a Christian. It's not that at all. It's because through God's law, I saw how filthy I was. And through his Spirit, he showed me that I needed a Savior, and he showed me and directed me right to his Son, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's how you get saved. And that's the only way that you get saved. God's dealing with these people. He said, I am the only God. You have heard from me. Now, all these little gods that you've toted out of Egypt with you, get rid of, because I don't want you to have any gods. You do not make any gods of silver or no gods of gold. You know, we have a lot of places today, a lot of, quote, so-called churches that have many statues. And many people literally bow down to those statues. I'm going to tell you, you better be careful. Because God's word is very clear that we worship him in spirit. Now, here, prior to the cross of Calvary, he's going to give them some instructions that show of the coming Messiah. But right now, he's instructing them, I have talked with you, you have heard me, you know it's me, now rid yourselves of these gods. Don't make them, don't possess them, don't have them, get rid of them. And also, he continues, and also an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. Thou shalt sacrifice thereon by burnt offerings and by peace offerings, and thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Every time in God's word, when he brings judgment, he offers grace. He's just placed the law. The people have heard the law. It terrified them to hear the words of God. So once they have heard the words of God, God confirms back with Moses, you tell them that they've talked with me. You tell them, I don't want any gods of silver. I don't want any gods of gold. I am the God. I am your God. Follow me. Praise me. Worship me. But do not build any other gods or likenesses in that fashion. I want you to build me an altar, but I want you to make it out of earth. I want you to make it out of earth, and on that you're going to have burnt offerings and peace offerings. Now this altar, and down in another verse here it says, if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. You see, God is beginning, as he does us, begins to teach us who he is and how he is going to come. Now, we know that Jesus Christ came to the cross, and we know that he died a most horrible death upon the cross. But these people are still, you know, Abraham had offered sacrifices, Jacob had offered sacrifices, Isaac had offered sacrifices. But as the time passed and they were in bondage of Egypt, I think most, not all, but I think most had turned to the ways of worshiping the gods of Egypt and not the true God. And God is beginning to clean house, to get rid of those things, to set them in order. Now, an altar speaks of the death, it speaks of the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed. Now, there is nothing attractive about this sacrificing. There is nothing attractive about this altar. And that's the reason that God said you make it out of soil, out of dirt. As we look here, earth, an altar of earth thou shalt make me. Something plain, something very simple, and something that is not attractive. You know, we have taken today and we have built our churches and what we call the place of worship. And we have made them so beautiful that people come in and they're just at awe at what they see. And we have made it so attractive that people are taken in by the building or by, in many cases, statues or things like that man has made. And they said, oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Well, my friend, it shouldn't be. Now, our place of worship needs to be nice. And there's nothing wrong with it being attractive or tasteful. But what it can't do, it cannot take away from the worship of God. When something we possess, whether at home or at the church, something we possess that catches our attention and we really think on it more than we do God, isn't good. And this old sod mound, as God, this old soil, as it was brought together and brought then the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, we have a complete picture here of Jesus Christ on the cross. We have this old earth altar, something very plain, something that doesn't catch your attention at all. Then we have the burnt offerings that's going to come. It shows and it speaks very clearly that Christ has the ability to save. And that's the picture that's there. With this burnt offering is speaking of his offering himself for us. And him being God has the power to save. And then the peace offering is the wonderful fellowship, the wonderful grace that we have. It always reminds us and should remind us of God's mercy. Now, we don't bring peace offerings and burnt offerings. We don't bring the sheep and the oxen and watch it being offered upon the altar. That's not done anymore because 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the picture that this is about, come in the flesh, God in the flesh, and died upon Calvary that we can live. But as you would have stood off 2,000 years ago and watched Jesus hang upon that cross, it was not something that was attractive. Neither is our sin. Our sin's ugly. Our sin is dirty, filthy, and it needs to be dealt with. And God sent his Son, God the Father sent his Son to this earth that we can live. Oh, we need to praise God. But when you look upon that cross, you need to see the pain, the suffering, and the agony that Jesus suffered upon that cross. He was beaten to the point of almost death. And in the Old Testament, it speaks of the condition of his body. And his body was, you couldn't even tell whether it was man or beast. He was so beaten. And he was hung upon that cross to die. It was not something good to look upon. It was something that would just make your stomach turn. It would make you sick to look upon it. But that wasn't near the pain and the suffering that was given to the Lord Jesus as much as when our sin was placed upon him. When all of our sin, that's the reason Jesus came to die, was for our sin. Oh, the pain. Oh, the suffering that he bore for us. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you see when God brings the law, he also brings grace. But you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know him as your personal Savior. So I'm going to ask you, as I always do, my dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?